Future-Proof Extra from News Talk.
Okay, for the prudish among you, or those with children who are already asking enough awkward questions about functions and tarring August aged, I was asked by my 9-year-old today, without any context, what Bhuteshi Pal was. And I just said, I think it's a temple in Asia. Like, I honestly, I was so embarrassed when I found out it was, of course, a pair of boots in Irish. For those people who were already dealing with enough awkward questions, just a warning now, we're going to talk graphically about reproductive biology in a mature way with as little giggling and innuendo as I can manage. So warning given, here we go. The refractory period refers to the length of time it takes for a male to be able to ejaculate after just ejaculating. For women, this doesn't exist. It's so not fair, but why does it happen and what causes it? Well, Susanna Lima is principal investigator at the Champalimo Research Center for the Unknown. Mm-hmm. Explain exactly what this refractory period is and which sort of animals experience it.
Okay, so the refractory period is defined as a period that happens after males ejaculate, where there's a decreased amount of sexual activity. And in most animals where ejaculation occurs, this happens. And it's characterized by a bunch of things, from like the penis cannot get erect again. You cannot trigger another ejaculation. And sexual desire is also decreased. And so this is essentially the refractory period. It's just a period of low sexual activity after an ejaculation.
Right. And I suppose while it is a very different thing, the female climax doesn't mm-hmm. experience this need for a break.
Yes. So in most females, you don't have that need for a break. There's other systems or other processes that actually turn off sexual desire, but or sexual activity, but they are not of the same kind, this immediate thing that happens in males.
So maybe you might explain what happens in the body when ejaculation happens and what the prevailing theory is as to why that isn't possible over and over again.
Okay. So we don't know very much what happens. Okay. That's still a mystery. And that's something that we are also trying to understand. So what is thought is that the erectile tissue of the penis, for example, is not responsive to the same molecules that would make it erect in the beginning. So ejaculation, it really depends on the animal, on the species that you are looking at, exactly how it happens and what's needed to get to ejaculation. But essentially, at some point during the sexual behavior, sperm and seminal fluids are mixed, and then they need to be released. Okay, so ejaculation is the last point of the sexual interaction, where there is the contraction of this muscle, which in the case of mammals, or rodents and humans, is this bulbous spongious muscle. It's the rhythmic contraction of a muscle that is around the penis, at the base of the penis, that allows the sperm and the seminal fluid to be expelled. That's ejaculation.
Right.
Okay.
And so the sperm and the seminal fluid, they're mm-hmm. kept in separate parts. The seminal fluid is presumably some sort of lubrication to allow delivery of the sperm.
Yeah, and it's more complicated than that, and I honestly don't even know all the details, but it has like the right pH, the right concentration of salts and like whatever, and to preserve the sperm and to allow it to be then
to survive that journey all the way to the egg.
Exactly.
Right, I see. And so when you look at your research, you're looking at this refractory period. Mm-hmm. Are you looking at it in humans, in animals? What sort of animals?
So we only work with mice.
Okay.
And we work with two sibling species of mice. So mice that are from the same species, but because they've been apart for a couple thousand of years, they are slightly different. And so we compare the two, and those are our model systems.
Right.
Okay. So, but we only do stuff in mice, not in humans.
Okay. So to study that in mice, do you need to artificially Stimulate an ejaculation, or or is it you do witness it as they mate?
So we actually do a little bit of everything. So, so the way we got into this was by just essentially looking at mice having sex. You know, hours of videos of mice having sex. So we put a male and a female in the box. We have to make sure that the female is in her receptive phase of the cycle. So we do a vaginal lavage. We look at the cells in the vaginal epithelium, which tells us if she's ovulating or not. And if she's ovulating, we put her together with a male in the box. And within a couple of minutes, they will start having sex. Okay. And so, and we film all of that. And after that, we can annotate the behavior.
And so that process is watching these mice have sex for hours and taking notes on what you see.
Exactly. Hours and hours of mouse porn, as we say it.
Hours and hours of mouse porn. Like, what can you see from hours that you can't see in, you know, 1 minute of slow-mo?
So the behavior is very, is very fascinating, because mice, so in Portuguese we say it's like in the pharmacy. You have all kinds of sexual behavior in nature. And one thing that is fascinating about mice is that they get together, and the male mounts the female, and he does what we call the pelvic thrusts, where he puts the penis inside the female's vagina, 20, 30 times, and then he dismounts. And then he cleans himself, and he goes after the female, and he does it again. And they do this back and forth, sometimes 10 times, sometimes 20 times. And so we are trying to understand exactly how you can make such an incredible complex sequence of sexual behavior, where there's other animals where it happens is that the male just goes on top of the female and it just ejaculates somewhere nearby where the eggs are, or in the close proximity of the right orifice, you know? So it's a very interesting behavior. And so we are trying to understand all the different components of the behavior. What makes the male mount? What makes him intermit? What makes him walk away? So all of these aspects.
Right. And can I ask you, the mouse, it seems, doesn't have a similar refractory period to humans. Is there a scale of how long it typically takes a mouse versus a young male human versus an elderly male human?
So that's one of the things. So I told you we studied two different species, or sibling species. They are very closely related. And one of them takes days to want to have sex again, the other one in half an hour, they are having sex again. And this is also something that sparked our interest. So the refractory period can be very different amongst different species, okay, or even very closely related species.
And that is very unusual, right? I mean, you're saying these are evolutionarily very similar,
extraordinarily similar. Yeah.
And yet the refractory period between ejaculations seems remarkably different.
Yeah, exactly.
Why?
And I think, so we have no idea. We know, so one thing that is very interesting is that these mice, they have different reproductive strategies. And we think that, so this is a really cool story, because these mice came with men when men went around with agricultural development. So they went around and people were migrating, and there were several migration routes, and they kept on evolving like that. And then at some point they met again in the middle of Europe. Some came from Northern Europe and some came from Northern Africa, and they met in the middle of Europe. And now there's this, what we call these hybrid zones, when they can meet, but they are still staying apart. There's no barrier except behavioral barriers, okay?
And there's there would be no impediment to them having children, because of course
they just don't. But they don't, and for several reasons. And we think that the way that they have sex is also one of the reasons.
Right.
And so we kind of suspect that the difference in the refractory period could be something that is related to that. But this is just pure speculation, okay? But at the same time, what this opens is like their brains are incredibly similar, their nervous system. So this gives us an opportunity to go and look for the difference that in one case they have a really long refractory period and in the other case they don't. So it's one way of trying to find the mechanisms underlying things by looking at something that is very, very similar, except in one detail. But if this makes sense.
You were saying, you know, trying to figure out what triggers the mating process. Is that not understood? I mean, is it not simply the smell of pheromones in the air? Have we not figured that out? What triggers a mouse to mate or any animal?
So, yeah, so we know a bunch of the cues. And we know that there's some, as you said, there's some pheromones that females that are ovulating emit, and that when they smell that, they start getting an erection, okay? Exactly how you go from the nose to the penis, we don't fully understand it, but there's people working on that, okay? But then how does that activate a motor plan that is going and mounting the female? We don't know.
So what about this prolactin hormone? Because there's been kind of talk about this prolactin hormone and how it might be involved in the refractory period. What is prolactin and why do we think it might be involved?
So prolactin is a very interesting molecule that was discovered decades ago in the context of milk production. So it's women have produced very high levels of prolactin when they are lactating.
Breastfeeding,
and it's important for milk production. We now know that this molecule is involved in like more than 300 physiological processes, both in males and in females. And interestingly, what we know, so there's a bunch of evidence that led to us to come up with this hypothesis. And one of them is that, so women, when they are breastfeeding, they have high levels of prolactin, and prolactin also impacts on the reproductive cycle. So that kind of prevents women from ovulating. So you turn off the reproduction
right,
in one way via prolactin. And so, and it is accepted that women that are breastfeeding have lower sexual desire. Then another thing, another observation that came into this story was the fact that if you buy, so it's common, you can have pituitary tumors that leads to overproduction of prolactin. And in that case, both in men and in women. And it has been described that in those cases, people have low sexual desire. And you can revert that by giving drugs that inhibit prolactin production.
Right, So it sounded like this was what was one of the reasons why, it could be one of the factors for refractory period, but you don't think that now.
So then there's another evidence, which is that, so there's a bunch of studies that were done where men were having sex and so you put an intravenous line in order to collect blood and you look at the levels of prolactin in circulation. And what was discovered is that around the time of ejaculation, there's a surge in prolactin in the blood. And so putting all of these things together, it kind of was hypothesized that prolactin was also the hormone that was involved in the refractory period. So while it's well established that chronically high levels of prolactin lead to low sexual activity, okay, we are talking about this surge. And so the idea was extended to this surge. So we wanted to prove this. So we start reading the papers and we were very excited about the idea. So we just went and we're like, okay, let's first show it if it happens in the mouse, like it happens in humans. And it does. So prolactin is also released around the time of ejaculation in mice. And then we manipulated it. But unfortunately, we saw that it had absolutely no effect. So if you take it out and if you put a lot of it acutely, it doesn't affect sexual behavior in life.
So you manipulated the amount of prolactin to see if you could increase the number of sexual liaisons or reduce
or decrease them. Yes.
Yeah, and you found that prolactin wasn't involved in that at all.
Absolutely no effect in the length of the refractory period, or like when our experiment was like, okay, so if you just acutely give prolactin before they start having a sexual encounter, it should mimic a post-ejaculatory prolactin surge, but they had sex exactly the same way. Okay, so yeah, it didn't affect them. It.
Okay, so we learned a lot there, but I suppose the bottom line is we still don't know
anything.
What causes this refractory period. So more work to be done. Susana Lima of the Champalimo Research Center for the Unknown in Portugal. Fascinating to speak with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.